Welcome to the Daily Devotion with Pastor Terry Reynolds. Today we move from the Gospel of John back to the Gospel of Luke as we go through the Bible, through the Gospels together. Today we're in Luke chapter 10. Now in chapter 10, we're reading about the commissioning and the sending forth of 70 in contrast to the 12 that we read earlier, chapter 9. We read, after these things, now he's on his way, where? Towards Jerusalem. And the Lord appointed another 70, more than what the original 12 were, and sent them two by two to go before him into every city where he himself would come. So they were kind of like, if you can picture an advanced team. They would go into the village that he was about ready to pass through on his way to Jerusalem. In verse 2 we read, and therefore he said to them, the harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into the harvest. Now go your way, and behold, I will send you forth as lambs among the wolves. Oh boy, can you picture that? Well, first of all, what he's saying is that he's the Lord of the harvest, saying that he's in control. Really, you know, as he opens up doors and leads us and guides us to the people that he would want to share with, it's important, as he simply tells us, that we pray for the needs around us. I think one of the great harvest fields that's around us even right now within our cities is the streets that we live in, the neighborhoods, the places that we hear so much of crime and emptiness. You know, as I'm walking through a store this day, I couldn't help myself to think, I wonder how many of these that are here in this grocery store know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Oh my goodness, there's a great harvest right around us. I know missionaries so often feel that, or take this verse to, as their marching orders to go around the world. But all of us have been called to do that work, the work of evangelism, to look around, to see who you might reach out to and be blessed. And so he also said that he's going to send you out as a lamb among the wolves. Boy, if I was staying there and say, hey, well, thanks, Lord, but, you know, what are you doing? Don't you know that wolves prey on lambs and they could destroy them? In fact, then Jesus goes on. He says, don't carry a purse, nor scrip, nor shoes, nor greet any man in the way or on the highway. And into whatsoever house you enter, first say, peace, or else shalom, be to this house. And if a son of peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. And if not, it shall be to you again, and in the same house remain, eating and drinking the things that they give. For the laborer is worthy of his hire, and just don't go forth from house to house. Otherwise, if you're blessed there, and you've been doing the work of the ministry, they receive you in the home, and they'll give you a place to bed down for the evening and give you a meal, then be thankful and bless them. But don't just be going like, oh, maybe I can get a better dinner at the house next door, or I want to go hang out with them. No, if they open up the door to you, be gracious enough to bless them and be there and just stay there. Remain in the house. Eat and drink what they give you. And then he goes on in verse 8, whatsoever city you enter and they receive you, eat the things that are set before you and heal the sick that are there and say to them, the kingdom of God is come near unto you. And so this advanced missionary team, or this advanced messengers, they're going to have the ability not only to heal the sick, but they're going to be able to proclaim the good news to them. The good news is the kingdom of God has come near to them, being that Jesus is coming your way. Get ready for him. In verse 10, and whatsoever city you enter, if they receive you not, go your way out into the street to that same city and say, even the very dust of your cities, which cleaves unto us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be sure of this, the kingdom of God is come near to you. I think of the sadness, the opportunities they miss by rejecting the good news of Jesus Christ. They are people who come near to the kingdom of God, and they have never entered in. And that is always to be such a, it always is a, such a tragic thing. I remember, or you too, probably Herod Agrippa should say to Paul, "Almost thou persuadest me to become a Christian." He came near. He came so close to the kingdom of God, but he didn't enter. And the Lord said, if they don't receive you, just go dust the dust off your feet. And the kingdom of God came near to them, and yet they reject them. And Jesus said, "I say unto you that it should be more tolerable in that day," otherwise this is the day of judgment that's to come, "for Sodom than for that city." That city that rejected the good news, the kingdom of God that was come near to him. The sin against the light. To sin against the light is the greatest sin that man can commit. God holds us responsible for the knowledge that we have. God does not hold a man responsible for the knowledge that he does not have. To whom much is given, much is required. To whom little is given, there is little, a little is required. God is fair in his judgment. Now for this city, it said it would be more tolerable in Sodom because the kingdom of God came near to you. They had exposure. They had an opportunity to enter in, but they chose not to. In verse 13, he says, "Woe unto thee, Chorazin, and woe unto thee, Bethsaida." Well, he was speaking to these two cities up there by the Sea of Galilee where Jesus had ministered to, where his light did come within the city, and they rejected the light, and they rejected the kingdom. And he says, "For if the mighty works that had been done in Tyre and Sidon, which were done in you, they would have had a great time to repent. They would have repented a long time ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes, instead of being destroyed by the nation of Nebuchadnezzar and Alexander the Great. But it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than you." You see, as you remember the history, that they were completely wiped out. They were wiped out by Nebuchadnezzar and then by Alexander the Great. And then he says, "Woe unto you, Capernaum," in verse 15, "and thou, Capernaum, which exalts herself to heaven, she'll be thrust down to hell. He that heareth you." And so, same thing. He's telling them, Capernaum. Capernaum was the headquarters where Jesus spent most of his public ministry up in the Galilee area. But they reject the light. So now he's talking to the disciples, still commissioning them as they were about ready to head out. He that tells us in verse 16, "He that hears you, hears me. He that despises you, despises me. And he that despises me, despises the one that sent me." He's saying, if they listen to you, they're actually listening to me. Isn't that amazing? When you think that we have the privilege to go tell people about Jesus and we happen to be the instrument that God is speaking through. And he says, as you speak those words of love and opportunities for them to know God and have fellowship with God, it's actually they're hearing me. But if they reject you when you're sharing the word of God, not only will they reject you, but they're rejecting Christ, but Jesus says they're rejecting the one that actually sent them. The world hates Jesus. They hate the Father. And it makes sense that they're not going to be excited about hearing you. But as the story goes on, we see in verse 17, "And the 70 returned again with great joy." Oh, they're probably so excited. They say, "Lord, we went out. We shared. Miracles were going to happen." And they were so excited. They even said, they were so amazed when they said to Jesus, says, "Even the devils were subject unto us through thy name." They were so amazed at the power of Jesus. "See, he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of,
of the enemy. And so he was saying, he says, man, I was there. I saw Satan fall like lightning. I saw when he fell from heaven so quickly, like a lightning bolt as it would come down. And I'm giving you that power where you have authority over the things that, how Satan comes up against us. You know, I think it's so amazing that the power of God, with God's help, you know, we're able to do things that are amazing, that's spectacular, to be able to see people's lives change for the gospel. And then he goes on and says, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Well, you remember when Paul was cast up on the shore after the shipwreck there at Acts. And he was out there in the Mediterranean, the ship lost its rudder and lost everything, and it broke up into pieces, and he came floating along and ended up on the seashore. And it tells us how they built the fire. And as they were building the fire, Paul put his hand down, and a poisonous viper fastened on Paul. And the story tells us that the natives were looking. They were looking at Paul, and they were saying amongst themselves, well, that snake reached up and bit Paul. He surely must have been a murderer or something even worse than that. He escaped the storms, but you know what? The gods aren't going to let him be alive. And the story tells us that Paul just shook the thing off into the fire. And they kept watching because I think they were waiting for him to fall down on the ground and start, you know, foaming at the mouth and eventually die. And he just kept sitting there warming himself, talking and to them all. And then they changed their mind and he said, he must be a god. Nothing will hurt you. I think that until God is through with us, that not much can happen to us. Yeah, we'll go through hard times. We might have a few bumps in the road along the way. In fact, today I got a head cold. You guys all know what that's like, and kind of makes you feel a little miserable at the time. But what I'm saying is that God will continue to keep us going and give us strength and to be able to accomplish the things that he asks us to do until he says, Terry, come up hither. And when my work is done, oh, how I long to hear that beautiful voice of God, as the Lord would say, come up hither, enter into the joy of the Lord, my good and faithful servants. May we all hear that voice of God saying that to us one day as we journey through this life. But Jesus said to him, verse 20, notice what he said to these 70 returning. You rejoice in the devils. As you rejoice in the devils are subject to you. He says, you're really glad that the devils, the demons, they're listening to you, and they had to do what you said to them. He says, don't rejoice in this. Not the spirits, not that those spirits are subject to you. Don't rejoice in this phenomena. Don't get all excited. I remember there was always, every so often, you'll hear this new wave going through the body of Christ where, you know, they start almost chasing spirits. It was back years ago, it was known as the Toronto Blessing, the Holy Laughter, and before you know it, the big thing was to be slain in the spirit. You got to run over to this church, but they're really anointed. They're slain in the spirit. And, you know, some things happen like that that are very genuine. I certainly believe in the work of the Spirit. But for us not to rejoice in the phenomena, but rejoice in the person. The person and work of the Holy Spirit within us is so important for us to do. But notice what Jesus basically told these guys. He says, rather than rejoicing in the devils and the fact that they listen to you, but rather rejoice because your name is written in heaven. I bet you could say amen to that. Aren't we so glad that our name is written in heaven? Because when our life is done, truly that's all that matters, that our name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you call upon him and confess him as your Lord, you know what? You too, your name is written in that book. But if you rejected him, if you've scoffed at him and you don't want to live for him, then your name's not written in there. I pray that you make a choice to follow God. I pray that you make a choice this night, this day, this morning, whenever you're listening to it, listen to this podcast, that you would yield yourself to God and know Him as your Lord and Savior. And so until next time, this is Pastor Terry. May God richly bless you. Thank you for taking part in today's program. We would love to hear from you. You can email us at terryreynolds@agapechapeloc.org. Again, that's terryreynolds@agapechapeloc.org. Or you can write us at Agape Chapel, P.O. Box 4023, Huntington Beach, California, 92647. May God richly bless you.